Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The tides are a-changing. Extra 106.3 is your home for the only conservative coverage of the Red Wave Comet.
Yes, it is. And you can listen to it live and on demand, whether at 106.3 FM, 1230 AM, or on the Extra 106.3 app. And the app's the way to go, because if you ever miss anything, you can go back and listen to it. It's quite simple, the logic behind it. And we encourage you to go get the app. Download that free for Apple and Android. Whenever you get a chance on Friday, when we were over at Rodney's Barbecue, I mentioned this, the woman that came in there, she was such a loyal listener to the radio station, and she so appreciates the content because she said, I can't get it anywhere else. Discussion about things that matter to me. But I was always having a little bit of trouble getting the station with a clear signal because our signal is small. We don't hide that. We don't run away from that. It is, but the content is worth it, and Lois used to say that all the time. And she got her granddaughter to show her how to download the app, and she has been smooth sailing ever since.
Well before I ever joined the show, I would always fire up the app, and that was when it came to dropping off the kids at elementary school. That's what I would do. I would sit in car line listening to you guys, and every now and then I would like send you a quick text on something just to be like, oh, look, I got involved in the show. So if you want to get involved in the show, 404-741-1230.
It is so easy. And as a matter of fact, since you're giving out the number, Morning Extra wants to put you in the audience for American Crime Crisis Live Summit hosted by Nancy Grace on October 12th, 7 p.m. at the Georgia Public Broadcast's Studio C. The Crime Summit will feature discussions with local law enforcement officials, crime victims, and leading experts addressing the rising crime rates and solutions for safer streets. We want to put you on the front row. You can call in right now and win your tickets from Extra 106.3 and go see Nancy Grace, do the Crime Summit. And, you know, she does a Fox Nation show talking about all the things that she used to talk about on CNN Headline News. And we know that because Ray Giudice used to be a guest on there all the time, and they may have kissed one another. I'm not sure.
The weird part about
juicy
that entire story to me is that as CNN has pivoted away from legality, from crime, from, hey, law enforcement, Nancy Grace had to go find somewhere else because she would do a nightly show talking about, here are the problems going on in American criminal society. Here's what we have to do to try these cases. And that has fallen out of favor on that network. So I'm glad she's found another place where, again, people want law and order. That is a huge part of what's going to be on the ballot this time around.
Yeah, I like me some Nancy Grace.
404-741-1. Nope. 404. You see that?
741-1230.
Thank you. 404-741-1230. 1230. And we'll put you on the front row to see Nancy Grace do her crime scene.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I've been waiting to play that since I joined the show.
Well, there you go. Welcome in.
The listener's just like, what do I dial?
No, it's so confusing.
Just call 404-1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's right. No, really, really. 404-741-1230 if you would like to see Nancy Grace live do her Fox Nation show. The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Three Bridges Financial Group. If you're concerned about where we're headed economically, and you should be, and how it affects your retirement savings, reach out to Tom Gandolfi at 3BFG.com to take control of your financial future. So Atlanta is about to be in a bigger mess around 285. And of all the things that people that live in Atlanta don't want to hear is that traffic's getting worse.
It's a main part of Atlanta.
Well done, sir. Very well done.
Is that perimeter. And now at the Perimeter Mall area, which is already a mess, and I hate driving anywhere over there. I try to head up 400, you know, so that whole, you know, connection now is just a complete pain. But I love what they did with the, you know, 400 ramp. But now 8 years. No, we've already been dealing with this for 5 years. The DOT has had so many problems. They've had to cancel at least 8 projects due to supply chain issues. And, of course, cost of the increase of costs. Yeah, for all that. Now they're saying it's going to be 8 years before they finish that interchange by Roswell Road. And it doesn't even make sense. I hate traffic.
Everybody does.
Man, I understand road rage, man. I do. I'd never pull a gun on someone or do anything like that. I wouldn't get out of my car. But the words I say inside my car with the windows closed, by the way, because I don't want to get my butt beat. But, man, I hate it.
The weird thing that I keep going back to. So when you had connector, 8575, burned to the ground, right? Whatever was stored under there, caught fire, burns to the ground. What was it? 3 months, 4 months before we got that back up?
Yeah.
And now, and this is what I always point to, when you need to get it done, they'll get it done. When you want to make sure you keep having the same budget year after year after year after year, you drag your feet and make sure it goes 5 years, 8 years. And so a key artery of the city, we got it up right away. When it comes to, you know, right around 285 and 400, we'll get around to it when we get around to it.
Hundreds of thousands of people travel that. So think about the traffic jams when you go down to one lane or two lanes around that area. And that's the busiest interchange, I think, in Atlanta area. The perimeter is going to be a complete disaster, not to mention 400 they're working on. I talk about Browns Bridge Road. That thing seems like it's never going to end.
Oh, man.
I'm ready for flying cars. I thought we were supposed to have them by 2020 at least.
The Jetsons show was full of it.
Future lied to you.
Yeah, they did. Okay. Yeah, because we'd already be there. But you know, this is my concern with as many people that are moving to Atlanta and Metro Atlanta, and they're coming in droves, moving typically from blue states because to get away from the chaos that consumes those states. Is this whole construction project, because of the influx of people, going to be like a computer, like it's outdated before you get it onto the table and plugged up in your house?
We already have the issue. We basically have an infrastructure for about 1 million to 1.5 million.
Right.
And we're 6 million.
Yeah.
I mean, this is always going to be a problem. This is just what it is.
Yeah, the city grew so quick. When I first got here, it was, I mean, the difference that just driving to where I am now, I mean, Jotham Down Road used to be pretty much a dirt road. Now, all of a sudden, it's a big interchange. Same thing with Browns Bridge Road. You get up there and you'd be like, where am I? And now it's just, you know, Dalton, Dawsonville, all those areas have become so big that we need to be able to drive on all those different directions. But right now, with all these slow moving, and I don't understand how they've changed this paving system. I don't know. I've noticed it up by me a lot. They're paving. They do like 40, you know, about 40 yards and then skip and then go up another 100 and do another thing.
You're trying to find the logic.
Yeah, there's no logic.
And it's like every
checkerboard.
It's like every Saturday, like there's somebody else, because again, I live up that direction as well. And they're just randomly paving. And you're like, what are you paving? I don't understand it.
It's like we saw a crack. We figured we'd pave about 500 feet.
Right here, though. Right here.
Yeah, just here.
Now, that over there, we're going to leave it. That's going to be jagged.
And I think you guys have probably seen it, too. When I moved here back in 2004, it's about 4 million people. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, in Dallas, where I had come from, was about 5 million. So I was like, oh, comparable city. This place has exploded. You know, now we're pushing 6.5 million. And again, it just keeps growing. I talked about with our friend Frank Duffy over from Duffy Realty. I brought this up with him, even a year ago. He kept talking about the explosion of what was going on in the suburbs. And I said, well, you know, consider what's going on. You can actually send your kids to school in these areas. Remember, a year ago, that wasn't exactly the case. And so you have so many people, just as Rhino told you, that are escaping blue states, you know, Tug, they're escaping these areas where they go, I'm not free. I can't even get my tax dollars to work for me to send my kids to school. I got to move south. And so that's why we're getting a bigger influx as well, even the state of Florida and Georgia.
Yeah. And then that on top of people coming across the border in record numbers and being, look at it, not necessarily being sent to Atlanta, but they may. There were some El Paso government officials, Democrats, and they're sending people out on buses. Of course, they did that very quietly. Don't tell anybody that we're doing the exact same thing. Where do you think Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott got the idea from? Biden administration and for Democrats.
I mean, they've been flying kids to New York, or so they say they were kids. But then you watch all the footage that of Miranda Devine at the New York Post. She did a great job exposing these flights into Westchester County. This is something that we are going to deal with for a long time unless somebody takes control. I do want to say Kat Kamick down in Florida did a great job by introducing the Jason Act. It's a bill that changes the definition of how we handle the border. What she's saying is, if you're to shut down the border right now, you need a presidential declaration of authority for the president to do that. And we know right now the president's not going to do that, Carlos.
No, not at all. That's just not going to be something that happens. I mean, we understand where everything's going, and none of it's a surprise. I mean, it's all driven by ideology, and as long as theirs remains what it's going to be, I do think, and similar to what we talked about yesterday, I do think we're going to see at least some split in the Democrat Party, and whether it's the Clintons or somebody else, it's going to go.
It's the Clintons. There's no doubt.
That's going to go, okay, we're fine with all these other things, your pronouns, you know, the way we view society. But when it comes to illegal immigration, we're going to turn it this way because it's so unpopular across the board. I think that's going to be that next branch off the tree where other people are going to go, oh, maybe that is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. It's been clear that that is not popular with the American citizens, and it's not popular with people who immigrated to the United States legally.
That are even Democrat-leaning.
That's exactly right. And they're like, dude, this is no way to operate. And as sad as it is to think, because I know Hillary was going to run, and we thought we were shed of her, but we have not. She's like a snake skin. She just kind of comes back.
It's a way back in.
It is, in my opinion, the way back in. And that's absolutely take the least popular issue, knowing that it will actually benefit you if you go against your own party.
Yeah, and Nancy Pelosi said it the other day. You know, they need immigrants, illegal immigrants, to work on the farms. You want to talk about racism, and they're out front of it. What I love about the Jason Act is this actually defines the numbers based on numbers, by data, instead of how people are feeling, like the vice president, who's like, nope, the border's secure, don't worry about it. That's my feeling.
What are y'all looking at? I don't see anything.
Yeah, so what they'll do with this Jason Act is, and again, I would love for this to go through, but it probably won't go through until November, maybe when we take over the Congress and the Senate. But if the state is experiencing, let's say, an increase of 25% or more migrants than the previous month, that would kick in to tell the Department of Homeland Security and the Secretary to secure the border, because the numbers are increasing. Not because, hey, we feel like there's a bunch of people coming across, or we feel like there's not that many people, we're okay. I love that they're taking the numbers into account.
We had the note yesterday from the survey done by NBC News and Telemundo. And it had that 54% of Latin respondents said that they were going to vote Democrat. Now, that was down by 13% from even 4 years ago, and down by 8% from even 1 year ago. And what do they cite? Illegal immigration and the economy. It's so unpopular that even people that sit back and say, hey, 54% of us, we're going to vote Democrat, but their primary concern is, yeah, fix the border. Like, this is not good.
Yeah.
It's unreal that people don't see how the economy and the border and things that matter to everyone, not just average everyday white people, because that's the way it's painted. But it's only white people that are racist and don't like immigrants that care about the border.
But Rhino, and this is something that it's not just the liberal left. The Chamber of Commerce Republicans, who like having this cheap labor, mm-hmm. they're just as much to blame as well. Totally they're right on board with this. When I tell you we're going to call balls and strikes on this show, that's part of it. There is a faction of people, the establishment Republicans, that go, no, cheap labor, keep it coming.
And I don't like them either. I've been tried to be very clear, the establishment Republicans are just as bad as the Democrats, or even worse.
Yeah. And what people are more concerned with now, see, when it used to be just workers coming across, then the Republicans would take advantage of it. And I understood that. Now, all of a sudden, when you see that there are 900,000 known gotaways from 3.6 million encounters, and almost a million have gotten away since Biden has taken office, we're talking about narco-terrorist groups. We're talking about drugs, human trafficking, weapons, all of this. It needs to end. I think we need to start listening to our Border Patrol agents and the people in charge of the border. We can't just depend on the Department of Homeland Security to tell us that this is safe when we know it's not. We know the leading cause of death right now is fentanyl coming into this country. This is why I love when somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and others, including Kari Lake, saying, this is real terrorism. This is true terrorism. They are sending, and again, all these fentanyl pills are manufactured in China and then come through. I love saying China like Donald Trump.
China.
They come through this border, and then the next thing you know, we have 100,000 dead in a year. That's unreal. A lot of numbers.
It's unreal.
Let me just kind of echo that, because if you guys remember July of 2020, when the CDC accidentally released that when it came to COVID deaths, 90% of them had 3 to 4 comorbidities, that only 10% of the deaths were from straight COVID. Now, they had to pull that immediately because that's not going to take care of anything. Now, if you extrapolate those numbers to even today, you're looking at somewhere right around 60,000 Americans that died of straight COVID. Okay, that's what it comes to, even though like, there's a million dead. Well, they've had comorbidities. They had some other issues going on in their life. They had cancer, but by the way, died with COVID, so call it COVID. So if you imagine that you're losing 100,000 a year to fentanyl and you had 54,000 dead over a pandemic, 60,000 dead over a pandemic, what's the bigger issue?
Yeah.
100,000 a year.
Now, RBM of Atlanta headlines with the Morning Extra.
All right, here are your RBM headlines for today. Senate candidate Herschel Walker is calling a report by the left-leaning website The Daily Beast that he paid a woman to have an abortion complete lies. Walker has denied the allegations, said he will sue The Daily Beast for the inflammatory lies. Electric vehicle manufacturer Rivian has increased production of the EV models, producing more than 7,000 vehicles last quarter. The company says it still will reach its goal of 25,000 vehicles by the end of the year. Governor Brian Kemp has extended the gas tax holiday until November 11th. The average price of gas in the nation is $3.79. In Georgia, the average gallon cost $3.17. And the magic number for the Atlanta Braves to clinch the NL East is still at one game after a 4-0 loss to the Miami Marlins last night. Two teams go at it again tonight. At 6:40, Jake Odorizzi will be on the mound for the Braves. Meanwhile, the Mets will try to stay alive today in a doubleheader with the Washington Nationals.
The Talkmaster Neil Bortz is back on Atlanta radio, and his only home is during the Morning Extra here on Extra 106.3. So if you love Neil Bortz, you're in luck. He's coming up in minutes, even though he's on the Bortz bus having to be away from his home. It's a mess down there. And he'll kind of give us some play-by-play. We'll also talk about, with Bortz, the reason that Republicans and Democrats are flocking to the Ron DeSantis bandwagon. Next on Extra 106.3, Atlanta's only conservative news and talk station.
Hey, it's Neil Bortz. And who do you trust to cover the huge 2022 election season? How about Atlanta's only conservative news and talk station, Extra 106.3?
The Talkmaster has only one home in Atlanta, Georgia, and it is on the Morning Extra on Extra 106.3. And Neil, I feel so for you. Look, I know you're in a very good situation. You have the Bortz bus and you can get out of Dodge and have been able to do that. But getting back home, not for 2 months at best, man, my heart goes out to you and everybody that was affected by Ian.
Hey, we got some lemons. We're going to turn it into lemonade. Listen, I could stay with you for an hour this morning to tell you what we've been through during the last week.
Okay.
Alligators, rattlesnakes.
It's unreal.
Listen, I tell you what, I am a firm believer now in storm surge. I always used to just kind of say, right. They talk about storm surge. I've never seen that stuff happen. But on the day the storm approached, I looked out the window of our condo. We still had power. We're watching TV. We're in great. And I said, damn, there's there's water out there in the mangroves. The next time I looked, and it wasn't 15 minutes, the water was over our swimming pool and starting to creep up to the building. And 20 minutes after that, We were completely surrounded. It was in front of the building. There was no escape. And it was amazing. We had moved all of the cars of the residents that were there up to the upper parking garage, leaving in the lower garage, God help me, my pickup truck, because it sits higher than cars. So they ran out of room. They said, we're going to have to leave this here. I said, okay, fine. Water over the roof the next morning.
Man. Neil, I got to tell you, I have a place that got hit by Hurricane Michael over in the Florida Panhandle. We took 8 feet of storm surge, 5 feet in the first floor of the home. And I think what it's really hard to articulate to people unless you've been through it. When that storm surge comes in, even if you have an automobile and you're planning on, hey, once this thing goes away, I'm getting out of here, that salt water just ends everything. Ends air conditioning, ends electricity, ends every vehicle. Doesn't matter if you're EV or gasoline. It really starts to strand people. And if you're not ready for it, or if you're not fortunate enough to have another way out, you find yourself in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, well, we were trapped in the upper floors of the condo for, 3 or 4 days. The generator did not work. No elevator, no power, dark stairwells. My iPhone tells me I made 141 flights of stairs over the next few days getting in and out of there. And can I give a shout out to somebody in Atlanta?
Of course.
Okay. We would have gone in the Bortz bus earlier because it was perfectly safe. But the power was out to the motor condo, and we couldn't get that massive, watertight, hurricane-proof door up.
Oh.
So nobody in Naples could help. They were all previously engaged. So we called our old friend that I advertised for years, John Nall over at the Overhead Door Company of Atlanta. And he said, we're going to get you out of there. And they sent help down from Fort Myers.
Wow.
And got that door open. We pulled out the bus 3 or 4 days after the storm, hopped in it. And we're on the road and happy as clams. So those people really came through for us.
Well, thank you so much for helping us out with Bortz. I'm going to ask you a question the CNN reporter asked DeSantis. Well, why didn't you get out of Naples quicker? Why weren't you prepared for that? Why weren't you ready to go? I mean, do you think it's ridiculous that these reporters who were in Tampa waiting for the storm then go and give Ron DeSantis a really hard time about his preparation for the storm?
Oh, we know what's happening. We all know it's Ron DeSantis is a threat to the Democrat Party, and they have to find some way to denigrate him and his efforts in this hurricane. And so all they can come up with right now is that, well, they were too late warning for evacuations. Nobody knew where the storm was going. They thought it's going to be Tampa. First, it was going to be up in your area of the Florida Panhandle. Then it was going to be Tampa. And then it turned out to be Sanibel and Fort Myers. You can't order an evacuation of the entire Gulf Coast of Florida. You have to figure out where it's going. And the evacuation orders were very timely. But this is what the Democrats and their media arm are going to focus on. Ron DeSantis didn't order evacuation soon enough, and people died. Let me tell you how bad it is. They showed up at a food distribution center. I think it was in Fort Myers. I don't know. But DeSantis and his wife were handing out food to people that needed it. So one Democrat website in Florida called Florida Rising, if you want to know the insanity of leftist thought, go to the Florida Rising Facebook page. They took a picture of him and his wife, each holding two styrofoam boxes with meals that they were handing out. And they said, this is Ron DeSantis cutting in front of the food line to get two meals for himself and his wife before the other people could get to him. I mean, that's how desperate the left is to bring Ron DeSantis down, because he presents such a threat. to whoever the left is going to put up in 2024. It's disgusting, and the media goes along with it, right down to David Muir on ABC last night. One of the first words out of his mouth were questions are being asked about delays and ordering evacuations. Yeah, they're being asked by Democrats. And look, you're familiar with The View, aren't you? I know y'all
are. Yeah, of course.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
A little memo was issued to the panelists on The View the other day that at one point during the week, Ron DeSantis uttered the words, "Thank you, President Biden," I guess for aid or whatever. And the memo went out to the people on The View is, you should use the words, DeSantis praises Biden.
Of course.
Yeah. He said, thank you, Mr. Pence. DeSantis praises Biden. And this is the type of blatant manipulation that you get from the leftist. Remember, 95% of these people at these news organizations and newspapers, 95% of them vote Democrat. And they are going to do everything they can to make this, DeSantis, the next incarnation of Dr. Evil.
Neil Portz is our guest right here on The Morning Extra. And Neil, I want to get your impression of this because I was in Florida last week, same time that the storm was oncoming. And I got up Tuesday morning. It was about 58 degrees outside. And I was like, this is kind of weird. Immediately, everyone starts saying this cold front is pushing everything further south and inland much quicker. I believe you probably looked at the same thing I did. It was expected to hit as a Category 1 north of Tampa. But with that cold front, suddenly every resident was told, you got 6 to 8 hours if you want to get out. And I think a lot of people were basically told, shelter in place. Was that kind of your feeling with you and the Queen?
Well, yeah. We knew we couldn't get out at that point because the roads were all clogged. You know, and we would be in more danger out there than we would in our condo. I mean, our every condo in our building is in pristine, perfect shape.
Wow.
You know, all they need is power and to clean up the crap outside. But they don't know how soon that's going to happen. But we just vowed that we were going to get out as soon as we could after the storm was over. Look, I mean, some of the things I saw when I went into the lower parking garage to check on my pickup truck. It was when I opened the door, the water just poured out of it. It's salt water.
Was it not the worst smelling thing you've ever had? Because that was the impression I got when I opened up my refrigerator. I was like, this is the grossest thing I've ever experienced.
Yeah, it's like it was a morgue refrigerator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And anyway, so as I was making my way out of the garage with all of the debris that had washed in the palm fronds and what have you, I heard this rustling along the ground. Pointed my flashlight down there, and there's a rattlesnake running away from me.
Ah!
That's not what you don't typically think of rattlesnakes at the beach in Florida.
No.
It just doesn't come to mind.
Or in a parking garage.
Our maintenance guys that were doing a marvelous job said, do not go back into that parking garage.
Do not!
There are nests of rattlesnakes that escaped into that. I got lucky with that one.
Yes. Thank goodness for that.
And some of the cars that were washed out into the street from other condo buildings, down the street from us, there was a beautiful BMW motorcycle, and then there was a Bentley, and then there was a Porsche.
Oh, wow.
All wrapped around trees and stuff.
Ooh.
This has been a hell of an experience, I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so when you were driving to get to the Boris Bus, did you get a good look at a lot of the damage all around, and how bad was it compared to you get out of the condo? You know your home's all right, but people who didn't have the luxury of being above that water line, what was the damage like while you were driving?
Well, let me tell you, the road that we live on is 200 yards from the Gulf, and our condo is maybe 100. By the time when we left there and got out on Highway 41, which is the main drag through Naples, close to the beach, it was life as normal.
Wow.
I mean, there were stores and restaurants that were open.
And they had power and everything?
Yeah, they had within a day they had power. We're going to our regular breakfast haunts, and it's just some places didn't have power, and one of those places was our motor condo. But you drive around Naples, much of this, you do not know what they have gone through. Unlike Fort Myers, unlike Sanibel, which has been declared to be uninhabitable. And so, actually, Naples came through it pretty good, unless you live on the beach.
Yeah, then things are tough. Neil Bortz on the Morning Extra on Extra 106.3. Can I play you something that might make you smile? We laughed about this morning so hard because we talked about Ron DeSantis.
Do you have a picture of my wife?
Yeah, no, we don't.
Whoa,
no,
we would never.
Why would you have that, Doug?
No, I do not. But this might make it's something that a Democrat voter said about Ron DeSantis, and it made us laugh so hard this morning because he was talking about the destruction of Ian, and yet he is going to vote for Ron DeSantis, and here's why. Listen to this.
About DeSantis, but that gas is here in Arcadia. Arcadia. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but it's here in Arcadia, so y'all know who we vote for. I don't know about the rest of you motherfuckers, I'm voting for DeSantis, and I'm a Democrat. Y'all call it what the
and then he had to be calmed down because there's some children out there and he was using the F-bomb a bunch. But he said, look, they delivered. Ron DeSantis delivered. I'm a Democrat and I'm voting for DeSantis because he did what we needed him to do.
He really did. I think Ron DeSantis must be a secret member of the Cajun Navy out of Louisiana.
Yes.
Love those guys.
Because the Cajun Navy delivers. Those are some of the most wonderful people I've ever met. And DeSantis has really done a spectacular job. Do you know there are 42,000 linemen last week in Florida getting the electrical power back?
Yeah.
42,000 of these people. And they needed to be housed. They needed to be fed. And DeSantis was at the forefront of that effort to make sure that everything was happening. I don't know where he got these skills. It tickles the hell out of me that he scares Democrats so much.
Well, I think about even with Hurricane Michael in 2018, and that was obviously just before he was able to get into office, and it was a week, a full week before you were able to get those linemen into the state of Florida and to really take care of the panhandle, to see all of them ready to go last week, even before the storm. I think that really points to a governor that really anticipated, here's what's going to happen, let's be ready for it no matter where it hits.
You know, this is my second experience with the hurricane changing course in Florida. And I think I told you of my first. It was going to go right up the coast. And so I told my wife, we're going to get the airplane out of here. And we got in the airplane. We flew to Kissimmee. We flew to Orlando. And we checked into a nice Disney hotel. And damned if the hurricane didn't hang a right again.
Ugh.
And went right over that airport and completely destroyed that airplane.
Wow.
You can't catch a break.
Back then, I lost a $500,000 airplane. This time, I lost a small pickup truck.
Yeah, well, that's a good trade-off. Neil, I wanted to ask you real quick before we get to the break here. When we woke up this morning, we got some news about Herschel Walker and his son Christian going, and it was not good news with Herschel Walker, apparently. The Daily Beast is reporting that he paid for an abortion of a woman that we didn't know about. He is obviously denying it, saying he's going to sue the Daily Beast. How do you think this will affect his chances at winning the Senate seat here?
I hate to say it because remember what I said earlier. It's not what he did. It's what he might do. But he is so damaged now with these allegations of violence against his own family. Why in the hell couldn't the Republicans find somebody better than Herschel Walker to run against Raphael Warnock?
Well, we had a few folks.
How easy should it have been to put a viable candidate up against Raphael Warnock?
Yeah.
for God's sakes. I think, you know, Georgia's going to have two Democrat senators for a while.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking to hear, but I think you may be correct on that. It's if nothing else, it's definitely going to be a runoff, and then we'll see how it goes from there. But there were great candidates, and we chose unwisely.
Yeah, well, the if there is a bright side, it might be this, is that with two Democrat senators, the voters are going to say, look, a line has to be drawn somewhere. We're not going to have a Democrat governor, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a look. If there's a silver lining, that's it. Neil, thank you so much for checking in with us. Godspeed, sir. We wish you nothing but the best. And so your fellow statement down in Florida.
Thank you so much. Y'all be good.
Yes, sir. Thank you. God bless you, sir. It's taken 40 years, but the Democrats have most Americans right where they want them. Next on Extra 106.3, Atlanta's only conservative news and talk station, and your only station for the red wave rising, the changing of the tide that's coming to Georgia and America. We'll cover it from the right perspective on Extra 106.3.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Buck Sexton and I are coming your way at noon, but right now we're getting your morning started right with Tug, Rhino, and Carlos Medina on The Morning Extra.
I want to encourage you to download the Extra 106.3 app so you can listen to The Morning Extra live and on demand, as well as all of our other shows, whether Neil Bortz or the Kimmer Show podcast. A couple other podcasts I need to make mention of is the Ben Burnett Show podcast. He is a former Alpharetta City Councilman, and this show, the episode that just dropped, is with Burt Jones, and he talks to Burt about Fulton County, about Jason Aldean, and the Georgia Bulldogs. So a few topics that are on the Ben Burnett podcast. And then our lovely lady, Janelle King, has Let's Talk About It, a podcast that you can listen to on the Podcast Park or on the Extra 106.3 app, and she talks with about abortion, which is obviously a very, very sensitive topic, but she can bring a perspective like nobody else. She's able to take a very delicate topic and talk you through it from a conservative point of view, and maybe take the edge off and take the fight out of this very emotional subject, and actually allow people to hear the conservative point of view. I think Janelle does a great job doing
that. Ha ha, joke's on Janelle. Her and I can both get pregnant.
Right, exactly right.
We can both talk about this evenly. Right. No, I think that's part of it, is when you hear a woman's perspective that is measured, that is intelligent, and that is also conservative, it helps kind of take the stigma when men talk about it. It's just different.
Yeah. She's got Suzanne Guy, one of Georgia's number one pro-life advocates, and she shares the personal story as they deep dive into that emotional topic. And you can get any of those podcasts, of course, on the Extra 106.3 app, but anywhere you download podcasts as well, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Podcasts, any of those platforms, you can get either one of those. Morning Extra and Extra 106.3. The Democrats have us exactly where they want us, Los. Exactly. Right in the right spot where we're living paycheck to paycheck. This is no accident.
Inflation's at a 40-year high. We know that. That's been the case for about the past 4 months. But when you look at what Lending Club ended up, a little report from them, basically saying, okay, well, how many people are having to live on that margin of paycheck to paycheck? Typically, in America, that's still 50% of the population. It's just kind of the nature of what's going on. But in this economy, it's now jumped from 55% last year to now 60% of the American public is having to say, all right, I need that next check to make this next rent, to pay these bills. The inflation on just our cost of living and what it takes to get in and out of the grocery store is really hitting people. Again, 40%, maybe not feeling it, maybe feeling it a little bit. 60% are going, this is real, and it's every day.
Yeah, I'm part of that 60%. I mean, I got my paycheck last week, and it's gone. It's gone like that because I do have to feed my family. I do have to take care of other things. But when I look at my propane prices, it's ridiculous. I can't afford it. When I go to the gas station, and again, you know, part of this is my issue because I do drive 2 hours because I love doing what I do, but it's costing me $300 a week. We can't afford that. That's a lot of money. And then on top of it, you know, when I look at everything else, including my grocery prices and the eggs and everything, it's just way too much for Americans to survive. And we have to now save and look to save, but we can't even do that because there's just not money in the market.
The thing that is, I think, the most The one that illustrates it the best for me is, I don't know, 2 years ago, if we threw away some cold cuts, it was like, oh, man, we didn't need them. Too bad. Yeah. You toss them out. Now you're like,
I'm going to make a stew.
Yeah, seriously. You're finding ways. You're quicker. You're planning more. You're planning ahead. You're doing all the things that you need to do to make sure you're not letting things go to waste. Because cold cuts are so dadgum expensive.
I'm like, I'll risk it. Salmonella, whatever.
That's exactly right, man. Yeah.
So last night, my wife got a little bit of a, I don't want to call it food poisoning. There was something put in her food. She got it from a place where maybe it was a coconut milk or something. Something upset her stomach. And so she did not want to eat dinner.
Bad gas.
She basically, yeah, I mean, but it was nasty. And so in my mind, here we go, and the other thing too.
Mrs. Lowe's.
In my mind, I'm going, well, I'll just order something in. And I open up Uber Eats, and I saw the delivery prices because it was after like 7:45. They all jumped to like $10.50, $11 to deliver to your house. And I just went.
That's a whole nother meal.
I go, I'm just going to make a sandwich. And that was in my mind. I'm like, I'm going upstairs, and I'm going to get some bread and some peanut butter, which isn't dinner. But I'm going to do that rather than spend $11 plus the meal. It's little things like that maybe 2 years ago you would do something frivolously. You're not doing a whole lot of that now.
I don't know about you, Rhino, but I know at my house, even Jacob, even my 18-year-old son is taking note. And he's like, you know what? I know things are crazy. I just came home and made a sandwich today because that's what made me think of it immediately. When an 18-year-old kid who's used to just going to Chick-fil-A and going to Taco Mac with his buddies at lunch and all that is actually thinking about, hey, how do I even cut back? How do I contribute to things not being as difficult around the house? When kids notice it, that's when it's really hit the fan.
Yeah, and, you know, even my daughter, although she doesn't really notice it because, you know, like last night she goes, hey, they have adult Happy Meals now at McDonald's. You want me to go get you some? Like, no.
An adult Happy Meal.
But then
true.
She said they have the toys with the new, like the old toys with the Grimace Retro and toys, the hamburger. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, maybe you should. But even she notices, hey, I've got to stop spending. I got to stop doing things because now I don't know. Everything is costing a lot more money. They're starting to realize. And those are 17, 18-year-old kids. But even my 12-year-old, he said to me, he goes, hey, Dad, why don't we stay home and do something here instead of going out and spending money? Because they all know.
They see it.
And they want to help in any way. There's no helping right now until hopefully November. But even then, we're still going to be in a struggle because we're going to be fighting the Democrats on this for a long time. They want one thing and one thing only. One thing, and that's full control. They don't care if we're going paycheck to paycheck. They don't care if we're hurting. They want us to hurt. It helps their agenda because they can come in and pretend to rescue us.
Well, it creates more government dependence. That's what happens because when you get to a certain level of desperation, you look to the federal government and you say, save me, fix this. That's how it creates dependence. When Bank of America has 71% of their respondents saying that their paychecks are no longer keeping up with inflation, it's across the board. We've all known this. You know, we've all felt it. But to see the raw numbers, when you have 60 and 70% of Americans that all agree on something, that's pretty, it's pretty important because most of the time we don't agree to that level on much of anything.
Anything. You're exactly right. And when, I don't know about y'all, but you see it here and there and everywhere. You see Bank of America saying that. You see people charging credit cards to the max. I mean, that was another report was out earlier this month that people have maxed out credit cards, which is the worst type of debt that you could possibly have, the most expensive type of debt, and you're usually spending it on gas, and you're usually spending it on groceries. And so all of those things are already really expensive, and then throw 9 to 21% interest on top of that. No one can keep up. It is destroying people's emergency savings, people that did the right thing, people that saved for retirement, people that saved for their kids' college. All of that is being degraded as we watch, and it's happening daily.
And it is, and it's going to get worse for another reason, too. Small businesses are under attack more than ever. Georgia Power, who is now charging small businesses and personal homes more money for energy. And part of that reason, by the way, is because they had to give some money to their project that's way over budget and way over time, which we could talk about in a little bit as well. But when the small businesses are being affected, again, with these interest rates, with the price of goods going up, with gas and propane,
everything that a restaurant needs to survive is going up. They're having to let go of employees. They're having to raise their prices to keep employees. So you're all going to be affected by all small businesses. It's not just restaurants. We're talking about small shops, mom and pops, even little grocery stores, stuff like that. You are going to pay more, and it's not going to get any better because we need everybody to recover from this because everything is being done on a federal level.
Talk to small business owners. They're going to tell you, revenues are way up, profits are not, because everything costs more. That, and across the board, doesn't matter what kind of service they're in. It could be doing doors, it could be doing windows or whatever. Profits, again, revenue way up, profits not quite as much.
Yeah, and as much as people say, okay, well, we understand that, they don't. Your consumers don't understand that. So what you do as a small business is you say, hey, listen, I have to cut your hours back a little bit just because if I raise these prices, I can't afford to lose any more business. I need to keep these prices relatively close to where they were. I don't want to change the menu every time. All that goes into this. So you start cutting employees, and then there we go. We have a cycle that just continually goes. And right now, the only way out of it is fundamentally changing the way we deal with energy and everything else in this country right now.
Most of us can call an air conditioning company, except for Rhino. It's too far.
Right.
But there's a delivery charge now, and we just accept it. A response charge. If you want to call a plumber to come out to your house just to do a little bit of work, watch what you have to spend on their travel charge. That's now all baked into all this.
Yeah, it's charging people over and above, and they can't keep up, and neither can the small business. It's hurting everybody every which way we go. All right, going to get you a Borch Report, a Fox News update, and then more of the Morning Extra. Tug, Rhino, front office Loess and Flounder. Biden pledges $60 million to Puerto Rico and follows it up with a Biden blunder that makes Dr. Jill clutch her pearls. Next on Extra 106.3.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you? 3-1, smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.